The Gemara here again on Chav Tetz in the Bay says as follows. Hahu Damalei L'Chavrei, I'm just going to go through the Gemara quickly. We went through it already. We posed some of the questions, but I want to discuss some of the issues and approaches. You see the little aleph of the Gemara on Chav Tetz in the Bay is 3, 6, 7 lines from the bottom. Hahu Damalei L'Chavrei, my boys, b'hai beisa. One man says to the other, what are you doing in my home? Amalei, and he answers him, gets the response, Minach Zvinte, V'achalis Shnei Chazaka. I'm here because I purchased the property from you, and I have been here for 3 years, meaning I've established my Chazaka. Amalei, so the fellow responded to him, and he said, I don't accept that explanation. Ano, Bishchuni Gaboy, Aboy, because I have been Bishchuni Gaboy. Question is, what does that mean, Shchuni Gaboy? So here we have several Perushim, and the Rishonim that I want to run through very quickly. The first one is the interpretation of the Rashbam. I will start with that. The Rashbam says that the explanation, the reason that the Marakama, that the Ma'arer, is disputing the ownership rights of the Machzik by saying Anu of the Shchuni Gaboy is that he's claiming that he's been living inside the property for the entire period of time. And the classic case of Cheskas Gimel Shanim is a case where the Marakama has left the property for the entire 3 year period. He's abandoned the property. Abandoned is a strong word, it has a connotation of doing so, intentionally, but the fact is he hasn't been present for 3 years. And therefore his silence, his absence, all of these work against him in the claim-counterclaim between him and the Machzik. However, if indeed he's really never abandoned the property, he's been there all the time, and not only that, every time he walks out into the public domain, he uses the rite of passage that it remains his by virtue of, according to him, the fact that he retained ownership. He never lost his ownership. So he has never abandoned the property, and therefore he claims that he continues to be the owner. He hasn't even been guilty of silence, because, as he puts it, l'kach lo machisi, I was silent because every single day I walked through the property asserting my ownership rights. That's the Rashbam here. If you look carefully, anav shchuni gavay aboy b'chadar ma'pnimim hoysa ikad dirasi. My main residence was inside of this house. Vayisi over derech alecha, I pass over your part of the domicile every single day. U'mishtamishim kol b'beis hakitzon she Darta Boker Shusi, I've allowed you to remain here, and that's the only reason why you're here. Well, the Kachlo Machisi, and consequently, there's no reason for me to lodge a complaint. Every day, I assert my ownership. That's the Rashbam. We'll soon see the other interpretations. So the Gemara says, also the comment of Nachman, Amalei Zil Bror Achilasa. Rav Nachman ruled on this matter and said that the machzik is obligated to prove that he was there exclusively. In other words, that no one was living together with him jointly in the property. Hamle Rava. Rava, on the other hand, gives a different suggestion. Hachidina hamotzi mechavero olav haraya. The Rava's suggestion was actually defined with the machzik based on the principle hamotzi mechavero olav haraya, which basically means whenever there is a doubt that the burden of proof is on the person who wants to change the status quo. His suggestion being that since this fellow is now in the property, so you have to push him out of the property, you have to establish that he doesn't belong there. But all things being equal, status quo is with the Matzik. Very basic argument between Rav Nachman and Rava, who really has the burden of proof, the Matzik or the Marakama? Rav Nachman the Matzik and Rava the Marakama. Then the Gemara says, "V'rami d'Rava d'Rava, v'rami d'Rav Nachman d'Rav Nachman." This is a very important issue. The Gemara says, if you look at another case, it would seem to be that there is a contradiction between the rulings of both Rava and Rav Nachman. But the truth is, that's only if you take a more general perspective on the cases. In other words, in another dispute between a purchaser or a would-be purchaser and a Marakama, there's also a dispute between Rava and Rav Nachman, and as we'll see, Rava in that case paskins for the Marakama, even though here he paskins for the Machzik. Rav Nachman there paskins for the Machzik, even though here he paskins for the Marakama. So the Gemara assumes that means there's a contradiction in their rulings. Rabbi Nachman. What's the case? One fellow says to the other, we have an agreement, I'm going to purchase all of your Bar Sisin property. And as the property which is has origins in Bar Sisin, you know, the Rockefeller property, we'll call it, right? I'm purchasing all of it. I'm giving you $1 million for all your Bar Sisin property. Okay. So what happened was, there was a certain piece of real estate, which was known to others by the name of Bar Sisin, which would seem to qualify it for being included in the price. However, there's a dispute whether or not this name is accurate, so identification is actually accurate or not. The Marakama claims that though it is known as Bar Sisin property, it isn't really part of the Bar Sisin estate. And the Machzik says, what do you mean? If that's what people call it, then probably they call it that way because it's really part of the estate. And of course, again, the purchase price was the same. The only question is what was included in the purchase price, and that's the debate. So the Gemara says, I love the Bay Bar Sisin. The Marakama says, it's not Bar Sisin property. It created with the Mikri the Bay Bar Sisin. It's just erroneously known that way, but it isn't really part of that group, part of that parcel. So the Gemara says, also the Kama of Nachman, Ukma Biyadid Lokeach. Here, Rav Nachman found for the purchaser, not for the Marakama, opposite of what he said in our Gemara. Amale Rava Dinahachi, Hamotu Mechavala Maraya. Rav, on the other hand, said the Marakama is right, even though in our Gemara he said the Machzik was right, based on the principle of, same principle that he used here, Motu Mechaver, all of our right. So the Gemara says, Kashin Rava to Rava, Kashin Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman. Repeating the question, there seems to be a stira, a contradiction in the legal reasoning of both Rav Nachman and Rava. So the Gemara answers no. The Rava, Rava, Lokasha, and Rav Nachman, Lokasha. Meaning, you can never just take two cases, isolate the conclusion, right, and compare them to some other conclusion, and then, you know, come to the accusation that there's a, you know, legal contradiction between this case. We always have to investigate the legal principle, like the details of the case are always crucial to establish what principle is operating here. And that's exactly what the Gemara tells us here. Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman, Rav Rava Lokasha, Hasam Mocha Koi B'Nechse, Hachalokeach Koi B'Nechse. Rava applied a single legal concept, namely, Hamotzi Mechavero Olav Araya. You want to change the status quo, the burden of proof is squarely on you. The difference is that in the case of the Bar Sisin discussion, the Marakama, the Motzi Mechavero Araya, meaning the Muchzak, is the Marakama. He's been in this property. The only question is whether or not six pieces of real estate were sold or also a seventh. So vis-a-vis the seventh, which is doubtful whether it changed hands or not, so whose possession is it in? It's in the Marakama's possession. So Rava applies here the principle of Motzi Mechavero Araya. But in the case of Shuni Gabai, he's also applying the principle of Motzi Mechavero Araya. But there, the other fellow has been living in the property. He is the Muchzak. So the principle is the same, the principle of Muchzak. What about Rav Nachman? Rav Nachman Rav Nachman Nami Lo Kasha, Kivan De Amalei De Beivar Sisin, Umikri De Beivar Sisin, Alei Dide Rami Ligluye De Lav De Beivar Sisin. In the case of Bar Sisin, there's another factor. There's a what we call a Ruba Deleisa Kaman or Lumdana, which basically says as follows. It's true that the Muchzak is the Marakama, the previous owner. We're not sure whether this property leaves his domain or not. That's all true. However, what is the likelihood that if everybody identifies a piece of property as Bar Sisin property, right, that it just happens to be known that way, but is it accurate? How likely is that? Right? Rove, the greater probability is that people call it Bay Bar Sisin property because it is Bay Bar Sisin property. So if you want to establish that the title or the identification is erroneous, Alecha Lahavi Raya, you have the obligation to prove it. In other words, here there's a factor that doesn't exist in Shmuli Gabai. The principle of Ruba, Delesa, Kaman. Therefore, there's no contradiction in Rav Nachman, just as there's no contradiction in Rava. Rava is a equal opportunity motzi mechavero olav araya legal theorist, and Rav Nachman will tell you that when I find a ruba d'leisa kaman, I inject that into the case as well. When you don't have it, then the marakam is in a stronger position. When you do have it, the purchaser is in a stronger position. Aval hacha, but in the case of shkuni gavai, lo yehei ala denokit shara, yilam minun kain shtarech v'kum benitzei. Let's say this fellow, in the case of the chazaka, let's say he had come to court with a shtar. Never mind the chazaka. Let's say he said, I purchased this property a long time ago. And the other fellow said, you're lying, I never sold it to you. At minimum, wouldn't we say to him, authenticate your contract? Right? Demonstrate that this isn't a shtar mezuyah, but it's a real shtar. So too, here we say to him, why don't you authenticate your cheskas kibbalshanim, which is inferior to a contract, but is in lieu of a contract, so go ahead and prove that it is real. That's the shakra tari to go. Now, what is shkuni gabai, and what is the real issue here? So as we just said, the Rashbam's opinion is that shkuni gabai means that somebody, his claim is that he's been living in the inside of the property, and he's been using the right of passage to go through the property, and therefore he's never abandoned the property. Now the Rashbam adds the words ulakach or hilkach, I'm sorry, ulakach lo machisi, and therefore I was never silent, right? I was silent, rather, but my silence should not be interpreted as acquiescence, because there's no reason for me to complain, considering that I'm asserting my ownership every single day. The Ramban, the Rajba, the Rebuke Yosef, the Chachmei Sfarad, for some reason, either didn't have the Girsa of Ulekach Lo Machisi, or they didn't think that that was the pivotal point. Whatever it is, they ignore it. They understood the Rajbam in a different way. They understood that the problem that the Rashbam is contending with is not to explain why the Marakama was justified in his silence, which means that there's no chazaka, but rather they thought that the issue was the joint chazaka itself. In order to establish a maisa chazaka, they felt the Rashbam was saying, you have to be the exclusive presence on the karka. If the Marakama, right, joins with you in being a presence on the karka for those 3 years, so that negates your presence. Anything less than exclusive presence is not a ma'isa chazaka. That's how they understood the Rashbam, which is why they asked the following question. If you look at the single page for tonight, the Ramban. So the Ramban quotes the Rashbam. Another shkuni gavoy avoy, not appears for a rav of Shmuel, shebechadar ma'pnimim ha'yisidar v'over derech alecha. Notice how he omitted the words ulakach lo machisi, right? I think that that is not just a v'chule and so on, etc., but that it is indicative of either a different girsa or a different understanding of the Rashbam. So the Ramban says lo nearly. Just because there is joint presence means that I lose my chazaka. Why not? So listen to this. In the world of kinyan chazaka, as we've explained many times, there are two types of chazaka. The chazaka we've been dealing with mostly in the parak is raya's chazaka, right? Two people disputing whether or not a purchase took place, and the chazaka presence in the land for 3 years is used to reinforce the claim of a real purchase. That's called raya's chazaka, the proof of chazaka. But there's also something called kinyan chazaka. The two of us agree that you will sell me your land, and that I will acquire it by means of a maisa chazaka, noal, godar, parats, whatever the case, doing some tikkun, some, improving the karka in some way. So the Ramban wants to do a fascinating thing. The Ramban wants to prove that joint presence is not the equivalent of no presence. Ramban says, is it not possible that the two of us can coexist? That I can do a maisa chazaka in a property in which you have not completely abandoned? Let's look to the world of kinyan chazaka. Can the two of us not decide that you will sell me the outer part of the property, but you will retain the inner part and a rite of passage? Can we make that agreement together? And can we seal that deal with a kinyan chazaka? Ramban says, yes. Misvar you can, and our Gemara is later on, which imply that you can. So the Ramban says, what do we see from there? That Maisa Chazaka can coexist with someone else's presence. And if that's true, then on what basis in Raya's Chazaka should we conclude that just because the other fellow, even if he's telling the truth, that he's been in the inner part of the karka, how does that preclude a chazaka from the outer part of the karka? The point is as follows. If the emphasis in the Rashbam of Lekaklo Machisi had been central, then the Ramban's question falls away. Because the effort is not to prove that joint chazaka, lo shma, maisa chazaka, it's to prove that when there's joint chazaka, there's no reason to complain, and therefore the silence, the lack of complaint, is not indicative of giving up my rights to the property. What does that have to do with kinyan chazaka? If there's a connection and a proof from kinyan chazaka, and there's also the dropping of those three pivotal words in the quotation of the Rashbam, we can probably conclude that the Ramban was reading the Rashbam, and not just the Ramban, his whole school, that the problem is joint presence is no presence. And that's why he's asking, that's not true. We see from Kinyan Chazaka that it's not true. Let me add one other point. Even if we were to read the Rashbam the way that the Ramban does, we still might offer a suggestion. And that is, this question whether joint presence is the equivalent of no presence, joint chazaka is no chazaka, is it not conceivable that we would distinguish between Raya's chazaka and Kinyan chazaka? Let me make it very clear. When it comes to Raya's chazaka, we're dealing with a competition. And it is all or nothing, basically. But when we're dealing with Kinyan chazaka, can't the two of us get together and craft a mutually satisfactory arrangement, and even define in a very nuanced way what joint chazaka might be? Joint chazaka in a competition is basically no chazaka. Joint chazaka in a collaboration, right, maybe is a very effective chazaka. So even if the Ramban were right to drop Lekaklo Machisi and to project that the Rashbam is really saying something about Maisa Chazaka, even then one could have been Mechalik. What's also fascinating is the next line of Ramban. Ramban says, V'od, in Cain, my time of the Rava, halo kol zman shelo hevi raya shedar levado, lo hevi nechazaka shein chazaka lemi shedar mabailin. Ramban says, Nimanashach, if you think that joint presence is no presence, because the idea of presence is a mutually exclusive concept, if we're talking about being demonstrative of ownership, if that's true, then forget about Rav Nachman. How are we going to explain Rava? Rava thinks that the burden of evidence is on the Marakama. How can he think that if joint ownership or joint presence is no presence? Now that's a very strange question of the Ramban, because can't one say, you know, a minute ago the Ramban was saying, what's wrong with joint presence? Right? We see from Kinyan Chazaka that it is viable. Now he's saying, and if it's not viable, then how do you explain Rava? But a second ago he was suggesting that it was viable even for Rav Nachman. So is it inconceivable for the Ramban to admit that maybe that gufa is the argument between Rava and Rav Nachman? Namely, that Rava buys into the Ramban's argument that Kinyan Chazaka is a good source for defining Maisa Chazaka in Raya's Chazaka. And Rav Nachman says, even if it's true in Kinyan Chazaka, Raya's Chazaka is a competition, and in the competition, there's no room for both of them. That's the argument between Rav and Rav Nachman. It would appear that the Ramban is not considering the possibility that on this issue, we have a major debate between the Amorim. Yeah.
Would it matter whether what the Taina is, if the Marcus is showing that I bought the whole thing.
Right.
Then you have one circumstance. If he's telling that...
It's not so clear. It's a good point. The Rishonim don't address it. The Rashbam doesn't address it. The Ramban, what exactly... Is it all or nothing? That's what it seems to be. Or even if there was an admission, in Okanami you've been to Shkuni Gabai, but at least I'm laying claim to the outer part of the property. That's what you're asking. I think it could matter. It's just not addressed. It's very ambiguous. So it's a good point. Anyways, the Ramban goes on to say, "V'loshen haGemara atzmo ein anochlis farishkein." A third objection. I don't think it sits in the Gemara. She'ain b'loshona, she'ain b'loshen shchuni gabai habai sheyavar v'yetzah derech halachitza. I don't think they mean the main point is the question of rite of passage. Now again, this is the Ramban projecting onto the Rashbam, because if you read the Rashbam himself, as we said, the main point is not the rite of passage. The rite of main point is the background for lekach lo machisik. Ela mashma, says the Ramban, haloshon sheshama yakol hazman hazeh lo sheyotza misham, you've been there the whole time, lozu v'kulin nuskli b'hai ara, lo ashkechan besa elut perusha ravdal, the Gemara should have had the girsa, my boys b'hai ara, what are you doing in my land, as opposed to what we have in our text and the Rashbam has, which is my boys b'hai besa. Okay. This is one interpretation and one interesting argument between the Rashbam and the Ramban. Okay. There's a second interpretation. Let's look, turn to the Rif for a moment. Try to do these in the next 15 minutes or so. Then we'll have the other half for the... Turn to Cheskes Abatim, Perek Shlishi. In the back here, I'm sorry. Daf Tes. Blah, blah, blah. Just very quickly, though. A radical, interesting interpretation by, quoted in the Rif. Hi Maisa, you see the little gimel on the, this Tez Vavam Adalas in the Dapia Rif, and you'll see an Os gimel in brackets at the beginning of the line. Everybody have that? Kiim Shtorech, Kaim Shtorech Kum B'Nechse? Okay. Hi Maisa, the Shchuni Gavoy Chazina Beitre Perushe. The Rif says, I've seen two interpretations for this Shchuni Gavoy discussion. One. He commanded the parish to high ma'ara leislei sahadi. The high ara delayi. He islei sahadi the high ara delayi. The high omer minach zinte v'achalti eshne chazaka loavam rava b'kai gavna motzu b'chavel of araya. This suggestion is that the case is a case where there's no evidence that the marakama owned the property previously, owned the property previously, aside from the admission of the machzik. The machzik is the sole source that this other fellow was the original marakama. Because if not, if we know independently that he's the marakama, says the day on the Rif, then why would Rava say motzi michavero olavaraya? The marakama is in a position of strength. The machzik questionable cheskes gimel shanim, he should have to establish his gimel shanim. The burden of proof should be on him. Rava is the one who generally thinks that the burden of proof is always on the machzik if he doesn't have an absolute cheskes gimel shanim. Dama Rava, dalsa beitreid, amra nana grinan, vidarinan, klas shanim, bimamo velelia. If you remember the Gemara, when the Gemara said, how do we know in a house that there's ever gimel shanim? You never know what's going on there at night. So the Gemara said, Rava said, we're talking about a case where he rented it out, and the renters come to court, and they testify that they're there every day. Otherwise, the burden of proof would be on the machzik to establish a 24/7 presence for 3 years. That's a very radical view. That's Rava. That's the rich reading of Rava. Now, if that's true, how come Rava here is so liberal? He says the burden of proof is on the marakama. So the Rif says, or the day of the Rif says, because this is a case where the marakama has what we call a pesha asa pesha yitir. The source of our information that the marakama is even a player, that he has a right to make a complaint, is from the machzik. Therefore the machzik also is in a position of strength to demand that the marakama prove, right, that he has also been present on the karka. The problem with it is, just give me one more second, is that if you say that, and this is what the Rif then goes on to explain, so good, you've explained Rava, and according to this day, we paskin like Rava. This is the only view that says we paskin in this Gemara like Rava. You have to paskin like Rava. You're not going to go against the Pesha Asa and Pesha Yitir. Pesha Yitir is a known halachic principle. If you are the source for his, right, claim, then that gives you credibility to, right, to interpret the situation in a way that exempts you. Pesha Asar, if you incriminate yourself, Pesha Hitir, you can absolve yourself as well. So we pass like Rava. But the problem is, passing like Rava is one thing. How do you explain Rav Nachman? Rav Nachman doesn't believe in Pesha Asar, Pesha Hitir. The Rif goes on to explain that this idea of Pesha Asar, Pesha Hitir, in this case of Chazaka, is an explicit Mishnah in Masechet Ksuvos. Mishnah says, Modu Rav Yoshua, Rav Yoshua agrees, in a situation where the source of Marakama comes from the Machzik, everybody will agree that the Machzik is believed to say that he bought the property. So Mishnah, first Mishnah in the second parak of Ksuvos. Is Rav Nachman going to go against the Mishnah? Therefore the Rif says, I reject this idea. In fact, this pshat has to be wrong. Yeah, good question.
It seems to me that Pesha Asar, Pesha Itcher is a blueprint for thievery.
Wow.
Because last week you were saying, if the son says, my father was a Yoresh.
Right.
And he confronts the Machzik and he says, you are now on my father's property. Now the Machzik, if he knows very well that the father was a Yoresh, all he has to do is admit, say yes, your father was a Marakama, but, and then he can throw in a preposterous defense. And
had
equal credibility.
No, but you're forgetting one thing. At least I think you're forgetting one thing. That is, the key to every Pesha Asar Pesha Hitir is that without the Machzik, right, going out on a limb, there's no case. There's no evidence.
He doesn't know that ab initio.
He does.
When he's confronted.
Oh, no, he does know it. Why doesn't he know it?
He possibly not know. Maybe there's an aide in that who's an able young who may come.
This is a very good question what you're asking. In that same Mishnah in Ksuvos, right, there is a discussion. What happens if you have a Pesha Asar Pesha Hitir circumstance like this? Right, he established the other fellow's status as a Marakama, right? And then he said, however, I bought the property from him. Then a month later, two Edom show up in court, and they establish that he was a Marakama. Now, the question is, will we say in retrospect that there was no Pesha Asar Pesha Hitir, even though in prospect there was, or not? That's a debate how to read. The Mishnah says, if our Edom, who know that he was Marakama, then we don't say this principle. There's a debate in the Rishonim, the Meiri there quotes the Sefer Shlomo and others. The majority view of the Rishonim is, the way they read the Mishnah, if there turns out to be ever other evidence to substantiate the Marakama's claim, namely he isn't dependent upon the Machzik, then we will undo the effects of Pesha Asar Pesha Hitir in retrospect. That's to satisfy you. Right? Not everybody agrees, but let's assume that for the moment, that's the majority view. What that really means is that the only time that we give added credibility to the, we'll take in this case the Machzik, is when there's no case without him.
Yeah,
he indicts
knows,
himself.
One never knows that there's no case.
He would. Why wouldn't you?
When confronted, he might think. So all he has to do is.
Well, why not? Why can't I always take the conservative position and say? Because remember, if I say this, it's effective. You come to me and say, what are you doing with my karka?
Right.
And I say to you, prove it. What do I lose by that?
No, but it's even that easier. All you have to do is admit it.
Why admit it?
Because by doing so, you then put up an unassailable defense, and you say, well, he...
But it's not unassailable.
Because he has to do it. Because
the witnesses could come.
No,
they could still come.
He told it to me. So no one can challenge that.
Right, but if I say, all I have to say to you is, prove your credentials. And that's the end of the case.
Who?
The Machzik says to Marakama, Marakama comes to Machzik and says, you're in my land.
Right.
What are you doing here? He has no proof. Right? The Machzik says to Marakama, prove your credentials that you have the right to make this claim. What does he lose by that?
Well, my point even more effective for a masik who...
Why is it more effective? Yeah.
If he says, okay, you or your father was a true morakama,
right,
but he sold me the property.
Why is that a better defense?
Because then by Pesha or the Pesha, he's there.
But I don't need it.
His sales...
I don't need it. What I'm saying is, in order to bring a case... In order to bring a case against the moxic, you have to be a marakama. If you can't prove that you're a marakama, then there's no case. So there's no benefit. Why do I even have to get into it in Torah? Why do I have to admit that he owned the property if there's no case? I've created his case for him. That's our Rabbi Yehoshua. There's a general principle called Migu. This is strong. A Peshas, a Peshiyitah is stronger than a Migu. It may be qualitatively different even than a Migu. That's something that we'll discuss, but not right now. It's either a super Migu, right? Or it is even more than that. It's the idea that you take my word or you don't take my word. You believe me or you don't believe me. We don't say Pagina Dibure. We don't say, I believe you selectively. Why should you believe me selectively? I'm an honest man, believe me. I'm not, you don't think I have enough credibility? Then discount everything I've said. But if I've said to you, if I've established your claim, and by the same token, I've justified my presence, then either take my entire Mishpat Echad, take it all, or leave it all. That's a reasonable. Remember, my option, my alternative is to say, I don't know who you are. Establish your credentials and leave me alone. I don't have to answer every crackpot who wants to bring me to court and make a claim that, you know, that that he's the previous owner of my property. I'm obligated to respond to him. Let him go to the court, establish his credentials as an authentic complainant, right, as a ma'arer, as a marakama, and then we'll talk. There's no downside to that. Why do I need to admit in court that he has that he's legitimate? That's worse for me. That's the point. It's stronger than a migu. A migu is a case where somebody has a claim against me and I'm obligated to respond. If I don't respond, I'm going to lose. However, I have the ability to respond in two ways. I have an alternative taina. It's called taina number one. Right? And I have the taina which I make, which may be a bit inferior to the other one that I could make. That's called a migu. Migu di bayamar. Since he could say, number one, since I can get out of this in this way, right, I believe what I'm saying, the Ivan. But in every case, a migu is a case where I need to respond. I didn't bring the problem on myself. I just have two solutions to get out of it. Peshas and Peshahita are stronger because I could just be silent and ignore him. So I've indicted myself, right? If I'm the source of my own difficulties, right, then that gives me even more credibility. Or we just simply see this as a single sentence, a single continuum, right? It's not Pesha Asar, and then it's Pesha Yitir, it's HaPesha Asar, Pesha Yitir. In totality, there's no case against me, because I'm telling you the whole story. The whole story isn't broken up in two halves, the indictment and then the resolution, right? Take it as a whole, there's no indictment, there's no resolution, there's simply an explanation. So it's stronger, mostly. It's stronger. It just may be a stronger migu, or even something a little different than a migu, but stronger. Now, how do we answer the question of the riff? Just how can Rav Nachman be against the Pesha Asa? It's like being against, you know, apple pie. You can't be against Pesha Asa, it's a Mishnah. Right? Oh. So I think the answer is twofold. Number one, or three, very quickly. Number one, there's a debate in that Mishnah in Ksubas. The case where the Mishnah says, Mod Rabbi Yeshua says, if the guy says, right, that you are the previous owner, or your father is the previous owner, but I bought it, that's Neman Kaz Pashas and Pashihitir. This is a debate about the following point. Rashi says, what makes it Pashas and Pashihitir? The fact that he brought it up, even before there was a claim. Right, that would even strengthen our discussion, right? Now, he tries to tell the tape, what do you think of my property? And then he said, it is your property, but. Tosa says, that's Peshas and Peshahitir too. Rashi makes it sound like the only time you have real Peshas and Peshahitir is if I also initiated the whole discussion. I went up with the fellow and I said to him, this used to be your property, but I bought it. He didn't even make a claim. Now, if that's true, Tosafot says it's wrong. According to Rashi, you might say that's not the case here. Here, the fellow is being charged with my boy's Baha'i Besa, or Baha'i Ara. He may be responding by establishing his Marakama, but it's still not taking the initiative. If you distinguish between these two types of Pasha Asars, there's room for Rav Nachman. That's number one. Number two. We discussed Ba Lidon Bishar B'Chazaka. Let's say a person is ambitious. Right? You make a charge against him, and he says, I'm not concerned with your charge. I have a double defense. Then, when it comes to court, he can only prove a single defense. Now, all he needs is a single defense. By committing that there is a double defense, is he a victim of his own ambition? By putting on the court's radar screen that he has a double defense, do we hold him to it? That's called Tzorach Levarer or Ein Tzorach Levarer. If I say I don't have two kitei, I don't have a kadvei to prove my point, I have two kitei. Or I don't have a star, I have a star and chazak. I don't have a chazak, I have star and chazak. Is he held to the standard of proof that he claimed that he had, or not? So some people suggest that would answer this question. It's true, Pashas and Pesha Hittir. But when he says, I have a chazaka, right? So he's not saying, believe me, that I bought the property simply because of my Pashas and Pesha Hittir. He's also staking his rights on the fact that he has a proper chazaka. Now, if his chazaka turns out to be flawed because it's a joint present between the Maksik and the Marakama, so even if we believe him about his claim, right, since he introduced this second level of evidence and we hold him to it, he is hoisted by his own petard, as I say. Meaning he's undercut his own position. That's the second possibility. I think there's a third possibility. Third explanation, which I haven't seen, which I'm suggesting. There's a general debate about Migu and, to a lesser extent, Pashas or Peshahitir, whether we apply that mechanism also Lahotzi, or only Lahaksik. That's only to keep the status quo, do we apply this principle, or even to change it. Right? Now, if you analyze this case, is it Lahaksik or Lahotzi? The Mishnah Tzuvos, the Gemara says, even if it's less than 3 years. However, the fellow is in the karka, is there exclusively. No one's denying that. He's been in the karka for a month, a year. Here, according to the Marakama, he hasn't been there a day in which there hasn't been joint presence. So maybe the idea is that when it comes to the Gemara in Ksuvos, that's Peshal Sepeshah Hitcher, and it works even if Nachman thinks it works. However, that's not Lahotzi, that's Lahaksik, because at minimum, he's the only person who is presently living in that karka. His living in the karka exclusively, Likula Alma, everybody agrees, even for less than 3 years, is perhaps more Lahaksik than living there for 3 years or more, living there for 10 years, but jointly together with the Marakama. So it could be that in the case of the Mishnah in Ksuvos, it's Peshasar Lehachzik. And that works. But Shchuni Gavoy is Peshasar Lahotzi. And that doesn't work. The Rif has a third shot. What's the third shot? Look here. One second. Look down a little more. One second. Elahai Maisa Hakan Perusha. You see the little dalet in the beginning of the line? The square dalet towards the bottom of the page? 3, 6, 9, 12, about 15 lines down from the bottom of the page, up from the bottom of the page. Elahai Maisa Hakan Perusha. He has another suggestion. Kagon Dehai Ara Yedia Ubrira Delahai Ma'arar Hava. Everybody, we know that he's the Marakama. He has his own proof. Not like the previous interpretation.
What
happened was, this is really interesting, this is the way the Rambam interprets as well. The Marakama says The problem is, you claim that the sale took place on March 22nd, right? I was out of town on March 22nd. Or you claim this took place in March of 2010. March 2010, I was traveling. I wasn't even in the vicinity. That's what the Shkuni Gaboy Habay means. I wasn't around, I wasn't present when you claim that this took place. That's Shkuni Gaboy. So the Ramban attacks that shot. Go back to the Ramban for a minute. Ramban says, HaPeir Shekosabo Rabbeinu HaGadol, this is the second paragraph, Minamatzmi and Beinai, also shocking. This is shot number three already. If he was in a place where he could have heard about the other fellow's presence during the 3 years, he should have complained. If he didn't, that's an indication that he is probably not the real owner. And that its sale really took place, either him personally, so clearly he was traveling. He can't send a shliach. He can't send an agent, a representative, to conclude the transaction. Rabbi asks a very basic question. Every dispute between a marakama and a machzik, every single case we've discussed all year, is a case where there is a clash in the story. Right? Each time the marakama says, it's my land, I never sold it. Each time the machzik said, I purchased it from him. Right? Do we really care whether or not the fellow was in town on the day of the so-called, or in the month of the so-called purchase? He wasn't in town. It's still conceivable that he sold the property through an agent or through a star that he sent through the mail. So what difference is this? It's claim and counterclaim. It's a question, you believe him or you don't believe him. What difference does it make what the details, we don't believe him about the date of the purchase. We don't believe him that you've been there 3 years. It's all the same. So here I think is another major principle. We discussed earlier in the year the fact that the Mishnah says you need a taina and a chazaka for Keses Gimel Shani. It's not enough to say I've been here for 10 years, I've been here for 3 years, I've been here for 30 years. You have to be able to say I've been here and it's my right to be here because I purchased the property. If you say I've been here and no one has objected, we'll throw you out right away. Correct? Now, some people understand that the need for a taina is just a chetimtzi. It's just a way of establishing the significance of your presence. That if you're not going to say I'm a real owner, then you can't compete with the marakama. Because he's claiming I'm an owner, and you're not claiming you're an owner. But any way that you claim you're an owner, as long as there's an ownership claim somewhere in there, everything else depends on the chazaka. It's not that the taina is particularly meaningful. The taina is just a... as I said before, it's a hechatimtzi. It's a way of establishing, right, your rival claim. Nothing more. Others, however, think, like the Rambam and the Riff, that the taina is a factor. There are two factors in winning by means of a rias kazaka. One is the presence 3 years, and the second is a claim. And that claim has to have stature. That claim has to comply with certain formal requirements, and the Riff and the Rambam are telling us now that one of those requirements is the plausibility of the claim. So it's true. In theory, I could sell my $1 million real estate by mail through a shliach, but if I can't establish that, I mean, if I, the machzik, cannot establish that at least the shliach was in the vicinity, or that he was in the vicinity. So even though, from the perspective of Gimel Shanim, it's like any other case, here the taina, the extra stature of the taina, is missing. And that's the principle of the Riff and the Rambam. The Ramban doesn't get it because the Ramban, I mean he gets it, but the Ramban rejects it. The Ramban says, the taina has no special stature. Taina is just a way of rivaling the marakama. the details of the taina, the formality of the taina, there's no such thing.
Doesn't need his
man,
the taina.
Doesn't need his man. It's interesting. The Ravid in Shidu Gubetza says, what do you think this is? Drisha b'chakira. It's asking, you know, where were you, and when were you, and how were you, and what were you wearing? He says, what? They're going to start doing Drisha b'chakira on the taina. Says the Ravid. It's very, like, humorous. You know, he means it to be humorous. He says, like, Eichan Matzino is something like this. He just needs a taina. But that's what provokes counter pressure. Ah, that is what the Rishon LeZion was saying. Yes, in a way, not, you know, to the, you know, exaggeration of the Ravid. In a way, the taina is a force in its own right, and it has to have a certain stature. It has to be established, you know, in a certain way. At least there has to be plausibility. He was in town, his shliach was in town, something. You can't just make any old claim. That's the idea. That's a very important principle in Chassidim Shot. And now, let's conclude with the fourth shot. We're going to skip Rabbeinu Hanano, because it's just a variation of the same thing. Let's now move to the final shot, the shot of the Ramban and most of his school. The last paragraph. Ba'nishamati b'fei rishayu avdo d'shkuni gavoy, says the Ramban. I heard that the pshat in Shkuni Gavoy, the fourth or fifth, is as follows. Shu makom rachok beruach darom, the nikra gavoy, shu cheder, kedufsid min hacheder tovo sufa. Okay. Uksid v'chedre teiman. Doesn't really matter. The detail, I don't care about the linguistics of it. The idea is Shkuni Gavoy means I was off to the south. As opposed to the next Gemara, which talks about Shuki Baroi, which means I was off to the north. It doesn't really matter. Off to the north, off to the south. Meaning I was in a far-flung place. Meaning what? Baroi ruach tzafon, she'enem besucheches, v'katayin hai shayu b'mokom shalosha machazaka, o shalo yachal limchos t'mokom cherum hu. The case is a case where the claim and counterclaim go as follows. The machzik says, I was somewhere where I didn't hear about the chazaka. Or, where I could not make a counterclaim. I couldn't register an objection. That's where I was. I was somewhere where I didn't either hear about the chazaka or I didn't have the capacity to legally respond to. So what's the issue? And there, Rav Nachman Adamai Seidach Sadi Davar Mokom Karo Sheinu Mokom Cherum. Rav Nachman said, "Okay, if that's true, if that's your claim, then the burden of evidence is on the machzik." The kivin shezet toin shelo b'funai hechazakta b'mokom cherum. The other fellow has to prove that his chazaka was hearable and reactable. Kilu tanu ze lo exacta. As if when I say I didn't hear about it, I couldn't hear about it, or I couldn't respond to it, says Rav Nachman, that's the equivalent to saying you didn't do a chazaka. Wow. The Rav Savar, listen to the legal argument. Mikivin shehichzik. He did whatever he was supposed to do. The other fellow couldn't hear his chazaka because he was in too much to the south or too much to the north, or he couldn't respond. Is that my problem? I did the chazaka kidemechazki bainshi. So the burden of proof should be not on, is no flaw, is there flaw in the chazaka if the chazaka is not heard? Or if it's not nitan limcha? Is that a chazaka problem or is that a mecha problem? Says the Ramban. Let's say everybody agrees that the chazaka could have been heard, and there could have been a mecha, and the debate was whether there was a mecha. Is everybody going to say that the proof whether there was a mecha is on the machzik? He has to prove that there wasn't a mecha. Of course not. The mocha, the marakama, if he could hear and could respond and claims that he did, right? He has to prove that he was mocha. The machzik doesn't have to prove that he wasn't mocha. Now the question is, if the issue is not whether there was a mecha, but whether there was the ability to hear or respond to the chazaka, is that a flaw in the chazaka or is that a flaw in the mecha? That kufa, says the Ramban, is the argument between Rav Nachman and Rava. Rav Nachman, medamile lekiyum chazaka gufa. Rav Nachman says the inability to hear about it and to respond to it is actually a problem in the chazaka. And that's how we pass him. Rava medami leila macha, the kaimelon krav Nachman, lefizat tarkal havi edim shaya kol gimel shanim b'makom karov. He's got to prove, the machzik has to prove, that his chazaka was nitenes limacha. So this brings full circle, but we'll have more of these, once again the debate about the burden of evidence and the question of the capacity to respond. Is that a marakama problem? Or does it have to be the kind of chazaka, right, which is nitenes limacha? Otherwise it's a problem in the quality of the chazaka itself. That's the debate of Shchuni Gavoy according to the Ramban. So we come up with at least four interpretations, each of which highlights some different dimension about this dynamic between the Machzik and the Marakam. Yeah.
But that situation comes up in the Gimel Shechem and the Gimel Shechem.
What do you mean?
Because there's a possibility that he couldn't do an effective Machzik, and it's got
to be taken. So you always have to prove, the Machzik will have to prove that the Marakam was in a place. Right? We know what those places are.
That he could have done a machal?
Yeah.
Right.
That he could have done a machal. That he could hear and that he could do a machal. I have to prove that he is within the orbit of countries, right, in which it's...
That he could have done an effective machal.
Yeah. That he could have heard about it and responded to it.
That's the case. I should have to hold on to my stuff forever. Instead
no.
It's going to be easier to hold to my stuff.
All I have to do is prove that...
How am I going to prove that he's... I don't even know where he's going. How am I...
I have to be able to prove that within the 3... Then the Ramban goes on to discuss every minute of the 3 years he's been in that place, or 1 minute in the 3 years. The beginning, the end. All I have to prove is he's living for a little time in a habitable, you know, communicable place. That's what I have to prove. He's been in France. He's been in Germany. He's been in the civilized world. And
easier to
hold
on to the star.
What?
Easier to hold on to the star.
No, not necessarily. That's the argument between Rav and Rav Nachman.